Even tired to the bone, Obi-Wan used the Force the way a surgeon used a laser scalpel, neatly and cleanly cleaving his way through the night. "There," he murmured eventually. "Can you feel that?" Anakin nodded. "That's the largest village we've sent so far, I think." "And there's safety in numbers," said Obi-Wan, opening his eyes. "I don't feel any immediate danger surrounding the place. Do you?" He was already angling the ground car in the distant village's direction. "No." Ominously, the controls were feeling sluggishly heavy now, less responsive than ever. Without warning, the vehicle lurched, then dropped. Cursing, he wrestled it back under control. "Blast," said Obi-Wan, checking the power cell indicator. "Are you sure this gauge is accurate, Anakin?" Teeth gritted, arms aching, he fought the ground car against another precipitate plunge. "Depends on what you mean by accurate, and sure." A third lurching drop, then a stomach-churning sideways twist as their makeshift speeder tried to fishtail its way through the night. Obi-Wan grabbed the passenger door handle. "So is this the point where we start falling instead of flying?" He hated to admit it, but yeah, I think it is. "Wonderful," Obi-Wan muttered, and then he sighed. "Well, at least turn on the headlights. It seems a pity not to see death rushing to meet us." "Pessimist," Anakin said, fiercely grinning, and flooded the endless dark with light. "Now hold on, Master Kenobi. Things are about to get a little bit interesting." Anakin was a brilliant pilot, but that didn't mean he couldn't use some help. Ignoring his leaden exhaustion, the warning ache in his bones, and the drag in his blood, for the second time that night, Obi-Wan discarded prudent self-preservation and abandoned himself without reservation to the Force. Its power howled through him, setting his nerves alight. And howling with the power was the starkest of warnings. Danger ahead, Jedi. Danger all around. Sweating and swearing, Anakin fought the crippled, dying ground car. They were down to the dregs of its power cell now, encased in a shell of unresponsive metal. The headlights were fading fast, and with them any hope of making some kind of informed landing. Darkness poised to swallow them. Death, too, if they didn't find a way to control their out-of-control descent. "I may be a pessimist, but it's not without cause." And then, the ground car's shielding gave out in a defiant spray of sparks, like fireworks. "There, you see? Wonderful," Obi-Wan thought. "Sorry," said Anakin, his fingers bloodless on the stricken vehicle's control yoke. "I thought we had a bit more juice left than this." Obi-Wan managed an encouraging smile. "Never mind, you're doing just fine." Just with an ominous grumbling of stressed metal joints, the ground car's nose dropped, sending them into a sharp dive. On a desperate gasp, he wrapped the Force around them, swaddling the ground car as once he'd swaddled Bail's starship coming in powerless to a space station dock. Except this time was different. It might have handled like a flying brick, but at least Bail's small ship had been in a controlled glide. Their improbably rigged up ground car was falling like a brick. And when bricks hit the ground from a great height, they had the disconcerting habit of smashing to splinters and shards. "Okay," Anakin panted. "You've got it. Hold it there, Obi-Wan. If you can just hold the barv right there, I can..." "Forget it, Anakin. This thing is past flying. All we can do now is cushion the blow." "No, no, I've still got it. I can do this. Just hold on to it, Obi-Wan. Don't let go of the blasted thing, whatever you do." If it had been anyone other than Anakin. But it was Anakin. So Obi-Wan poured his will into cradling the machine as his former apprentice bullied it into cooperating. The console lighting failed next, and then, last of all, the headlights. In the moment they winked out, he caught a final glimpse of the onrushing tree-scattered ground, heard a curdling scrape of high branches along the ground car's belly, and then the ground car's power cell died. "Anakin!" He tore his gaze from the unshielded windscreen. "We're out of time!" No need to talk about it. In perfect familiar unison, they flung themselves into an active trance, imposing the Force upon the unresponsive ground car and flattening their lethally steep trajectory. Amid loud crashing and splintering, the ground car blundered through the pitch-dark countryside's clustered treetops, then struck one broad trunk hard and slewed wildly sideways. Blood swirling, their vision blotched and smeared, they used up what was left of their meager strength, keeping the force wrapped close around the ground car. It was the only thing standing between themselves and a bloody death. And then, they struck Lantiban soil, skipping over the open ground like a stone across a flat pond. The noise was ferocious. Metal sheared and screamed and buckled and tore. They hit something unyielding, a rock or a felled tree, maybe the lip of a culvert, that flipped them into a crazy sideways roll. With the power cell drained dry, the expensive ground car's auto restraints couldn't engage. Pebbles in a bottle, they rattled around and around and around. At last, with one final roll and a rending shriek of stressed Durasteel, their pulverized vehicle slammed right side up and rocked to a halt.